welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors, whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales. We hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more. Hi, welcome to another Revenue Hub podcast. We are delighted again to be joined by our guests from Berner and Becker. We have Veit and Till once more, following up on our recent podcast. Hello, guys. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, very guys. Good indeed. You well, Till?
Yeah, very well. Good to be back.
Great. Good to have you on here. So we obviously, in our last podcast, we spoke about sort of distribution and Google and OTAs, and that kind of prompted us to think a little bit about direct booking. The question we posed was, is it a challenge to drive and convert more direct business, and is it worth it? Okay, now we've already had a giggle about this. The spoiler alert is that we won't be able to answer that question. So now everyone switches off the podcast and goes and does something else. The reality is, every situation will be different. Every hotel will be slightly different. Every needs will be slightly different. But there are some core basic elements, both in terms of what you should think about in terms of driving more business to your site. And then there are some core mistakes that are often made or areas that are overlooked when people arrive at your website. So we're going to separate this out into hopefully discussing those two topics. And we're going to start with the first one around how do we drive more potential guests, more viewers to our website to help us enhance direct booking. So what do we need to be focusing in on?
Yeah, I'll just make a start on that. And I have a rather funny story to share. So in the beginning of February, I've just recently been to the Opportunity 2020 conference. And funny thing, like on one of the panel discussions, they were asking the question, you know, what's kind of the most overrated term nowadays in terms of revenue management and distribution and stuff like this? And then one of the guys in the panel actually said, driving direct business. Yeah, as if it would be a topic, you know, that has been talked for so long and, you know, no one really has the key on how to do it and what to do. But yeah, like people were just divided on that topic kind of along the day. And I think maybe that guy who actually said that sentence was kind of correct, right?
Yeah, like, could well be.
We're talking about this topic for so long and still we haven't found a way to, you know, really fight against the OTAs. Maybe it should rather be the question, do we actually have to fight them? Now this is what we want to explore today a little bit. But yeah. I mean, you know, there's a couple of key elements, I think, that you can look at and that you have to understand up front in order to be able to drive direct business. And I think it all starts with an understanding of your actual hotel and what makes your hotel special, basically. Okay. And what makes people come to you, right? So you gotta be thinking about your unique selling points at the end of the day and why people are inclined to actually choose your hotel over another hotel. And secondly, choose your hotel via a channel that is considered as direct, right? And not via a channel that is considered as a third party or some sort of other distribution channel.
And so just picking up on that, just on that point. So I think what we're calling direct. So for the purpose of this conversation, when we're thinking of direct, we're excluding OTAs. But we are including, obviously, Google Meta Search as a channel for being able to drive direct. Is that where we're coming from? It's really this OTAs rather than every other tool available to us, yeah?
Yes, just to make it comparable, we need to assume this in this discussion that basically Google or any other meta search channel is driving business to your, let's say, own website or own reservation channels, could also be phone or email, compared to the online travel agencies.
And again, just picking up on this point then about the hotel and USPs, again, if direct booking was a topic that was often used. Cracking. How many times do we talk about understanding your hotel's USPs? I mean, that's been going even longer than the direct booking. But I think you make a valid point, particularly in that last statement of when comparing to the OTAs, because more often than not, when you look at some of the websites, and we're going to talk specifically about the website in kind of part two of this, the kind of the information is just the same. I'm talking here not from, I mean, you guys are revenue management professionals, hotel professionals. Yeah. I'm looking at it purely from a leisure or business user. When I land on a site and I want to understand how do I choose between one or the other, if the information on the hotel site is the same information as it is on the OTA, well, how does that tell me anything about them?
Well, I think in this regard, it's also to not only understand what is the USP of your hotel or what makes your hotel so unique that it's attracting business, is also to understand which type of business is actually the right one for your hotel. Okay. In terms of what's your main feeder market, but on the other side also maybe demographics or the special interest of your target group. Let's assume you're running a spa hotel and your USP is maybe the largest spa area or very special offering that you have in terms of treatments in your region. Basically, this will be then also your hotel USP, and that's how your target group will then be defined, or a golf resort that has a golf course on property would be another USP to mention.
Yep.
So this goes very much, as I feel, into the area of marketing. Mm-hmm. So understanding your product and what makes it unique, so that you can take these uniquenesses and showcase them on the internet in order to use maybe keywords on Meta Search and Google to then link to your own website.
Yeah.
Awake some interest of future potential clients in your special product.
And when you're talking about feeder market, are you looking, you're not looking here from a segmentation, whether it's leisure or business or groups, for instance, you're talking here, what about the demographics, the geographical?
Absolutely. Right. Because this is kind of like, if we're already talking about how to differentiate basically between, you know, which kind of information we want to gather and also we want to give from a direct perspective versus what we want to give or want to gather from a third party perspective, I think that's a really key point to understand, because there might be markets out there, you know, just to differentiate them from a, let's say, demographic point of view, from a geographical point of view, something like this, where there's probably a higher chance that those people with some certain target marketing could be inclined to book you direct, basically, rather than choosing the way via, let's say, a little diversion that we call OTAs or any other. So I think on that differentiation point of view, it's extremely important to understand where those guests are actually coming from. And secondly, how they currently book with you, because this is kind of the first impression you get, or let's say the best indicator you get on where there would be, let's say, some leverage in terms of, you know, moving those bookers away from something that we call third party onto something that we could call direct. I know exactly the conversion rates, for example, that different channels have, right? And within those different channels, you would also obviously figure out which kind of feeder markets those different channels cater to.
Yep. Right? Okay. And understand. Yep.
Obviously you can build out strategies out of that kind of data that you have at hand, right? And if you got that glimpse on conversion rates, if you got that glimpse on your feeder markets at the end of the day, I think you're making a big step forward in terms of trying to influence and come up with ideas and strategies on how to move those people away from something that we consider as a third party, and, you know, maybe make them understand that booking with you directly would be the better option.
So in a way, and I mean, I'm not a digital marketing specialist, and I know you guys aren't either, but, you know, you often hear them talking about building up kind of guest personas or guest profiles. So that's kind of coming back to understanding, you know, your feeder markets, where are these people coming from? Are we spa orientated? Do we get more couples? Are we families? Are we business? Again, it seems very basic, but this is the point of where your marketing team should be really getting engaged, along with looking at your revenue management team, or it may all be the same person, and starting to really pull this data together and then think about the changes you might want to make on your website to ensure that what they see when they arrive at your site is the key information that ultimately is why people come to you in the first place, because that information isn't necessarily what's going to be communicated out onto an OTA, where really they're just seeing your rooms and some stock pictures and some different some different rate plans.
Yeah.
I mean, your website overall is very, very powerful compared to the profile you can put online on any OTA, because you can tailor make it to your individual needs. So you can really showcase what makes your property unique and why people should stay with you. And the other plus is we're not really talking about how the website should be designed yet. I think we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if your website includes the right keywords, that already helps in showing up more often on Google. So basically, the term here would be search engine optimization, in order to drive more bookings to your website, to appear more often in the search results, and be in the basically in the mindset of potential future bookers more often or even earlier than your competition will be.
Yeah, and I think that leads us back, and I'll put the link in the when we post this back to the previous podcast, because we don't want to repeat it. But there was a point that we touched on in the last podcast where we were talking about how many times do hoteliers look at it from a hotelier perspective rather than the guest perspective. So if you know, if you were to pull all the data out, if you were to see the different demographic, the different countries, the different ways that these people book and why they book and stay, and then you align that and think, right, if I was one of those guests, what would be important to me? And if I land on my site, can I find that information? Does it reflect our hotel? If you're just looking at it in, again, one of these kind of stock approaches, you know, an off-the-shelf site, which is good to get you going, then you've got to bring your character to it. If you don't move beyond the basics, then all you are doing is just saying, we have a bed, we're in this location, we have a restaurant, these are what our pictures look like. Yeah. Decide on price and whether our pictures are look newer or older, because otherwise what else can you determine? And then as you say, what you're seeing on the OTA is exactly the same that you're basically seeing on the site.
I think it's all about, you know, how you tell the story and which kind of story you tell to your guests, kind of, right? And as we said, like with your direct business, you got, or with your direct website, you got the opportunity to be as, you know, as specific as you want to be, and as flexible as you want to be in terms of catering to your actual guest mix in that sense.
Yeah.
So why not using that, right? And I mean, as you said, we're going to come to that part a little bit later. What would make a website, you know, perform well at the end of the day?
Yeah, when they arrive, what needs to be there? We'll touch on that. So let's assume then, so that we don't cross into that section quite yet. So we've kind of spoken a little bit about things that need to be considered. I guess, you know, these aren't rocket science, but often we get caught up with all the hype, machine learning, AI, technology, which is all valuable. But at the end of the day, it's still a sales and marketing exercise to get people to want to come and stay with you. And people want to stay with you because it is hospitality.
Yeah.
How do you get across the fact that you are hospitable and a nice place to come and stay?
Yeah.
So, you know, we are talking about some basics here, but sometimes they can be forgotten. So we've kind of refreshed some of the things, just things to consider. Are these areas as sharp? Are you evaluating them as much as you could do? Once we've got these messages right, what are the channels available to us in terms of then sources to to drive direct bookings? And I know we're going to touch on some of the obvious ones, but for the purpose of just making sure we haven't missed anything, what are those sources?
Well, first and foremost, it's usually marketing on meta search platforms, like Trivago, Kayak, or even Google. It's mostly on a pay-per-click basis. And I think we touched on that in the last podcast quite a bit. But the power here is, I think, also in some other channels where you can really drive direct business. If you understand your demographics and where your guests are actually coming from, that's why we were really making the point at the beginning to understand what is your ideal guest and where are they coming from. Because nowadays, lots of hotels are trying to drive more direct business by advertising on social media. And here also you have a very wide range of distributing your offers, from putting them on Facebook or let's say Instagram and so forth. And you can do it yourself. You can buy ads there. You can upload just photos and create your own account, for example, or even moving further into that sphere of hiring an influencer, and they make nice pictures. They stay in your property and then build like basically a huge block out of it. And maybe you can push a special offer with it as well. That opens a total new area of distributing your property, and not just by some static content or just by price, I would say, because if you're looking at the meta search sites like Google or Trivago, the only thing you're betting on there is that your price from your own website will be shown as on the first spot to increase the capture rate.
Yeah.
But here you really have the power, and that really goes back to this point, what makes my property unique, to showcase what makes it unique.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting point. I just want to add into that social media part. If you just think about Instagram, like, I think it's, I can say this, everyone likes to look at pictures, right? And if we're looking at the very first point of the guest journey, where that is starting actually, then it's in the head of the customer basically, right? And you want to be helping basically that a customer or potential guest gets a dream built up of traveling, first of all, to your destination. And secondly, obviously, also has in mind that that specific guest could be choosing your hotel. And if it helps to, you know, showcase pictures on something like Instagram, where every, obviously most of it is staged, but if you look at what... if you look at what influencers bring at the end of the day in terms of, you know, exposure, and I'm not saying obviously you should do something with influencers now, but just looking at the fact of, you know, which kind of exposure you can get basically via those channels, and which kind of idea and expectation and vision it would plant in a guest's mind, I think that's already a very powerful step to take in the very first place in order to drive potential direct business.
Yeah. I think you're right, because the first, as you said, you know, first of all, someone starts thinking about going on holiday. You know, I think the business is slightly different. You know, you're kind of dictated where you're going to go. So you probably look at it depending whether I'm a loyalty customer somewhere, or it may just be, okay, I need a hotel. I might rate it on class, and then I'm just going to really search and just compare, and so the maybe the deciding factors of a business user will be different to a leisure. But if we're in, if we focus on the leisure, and if we're inspiring someone wanting to travel, and again, it could be to a city, it doesn't have to be resort based. You know, they've got to first of all think, oh, I fancy going somewhere. And so you're right, we're so locked into images nowadays, which is why the imagery on the on a site, however you present it, imagery on an OTA, however it gets presented, imagery on your social media is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
Because I know from choosing myself, the moment I can look between two hotels whose ratings may be similar, whose facilities may be similar, but if one looks like it has a picture that's a bit outdated, and the other one's just taken a little bit more effort. And you know, we're not daft. We know that they're staged. But if one looks like they've actually bothered to try and present their nicely, and one's just taken a picture as you walk through the door, you kind of can't help but say, okay, I'm probably going to go to the one that just looks slightly better. And I think understanding, and again, this comes back to your USPs and feeder markets and your guest profiles. You know, if you are bringing in a younger, because I understand the demographics on Facebook have changed now, and the younger profile has shifted to Instagram, and it's more the more experienced are on Facebook. Being kind of delicate. So, you know, again, the way the message that you communicate and how you position your hotel, if you know that that's your user base, you're going to choose your platform and determine your platform much better aligned to your feeder market and your demographic. And then your imagery and content is going to be.
That's super important to understand, because as we're talking about social media now, is as Fai pointed out earlier, it's not for everyone. So it's not, there's no approach that works for every hotel, because every case is different.
Yep.
But it's definitely worth having a look into it.
I think as well, I mean, this may be a completely crazy idea, but with two younger children, or old enough to be on social media sites, but younger and still enough to influence where we go on holiday. One of my children is like into TikTok. And so I've seen recently been reading about how some people and hotels are trying to exploit that. Now, again, I have no idea how it works. It's certainly not a place where a 50-year-old occupies. But, you know, a hotel where it is family orientated, and again, where you can unlock the personality of your staff in the hotel to be a bit creative, utilizing, thinking about those kind of platforms, just short little videos or however it works that can influence, so that the children start talking about something cool, that when you're talking about a holiday, oh, well, I saw this great hotel, can we go somewhere like that? You know, it's just those little subtle messages of doing something different that can help to make you stand out above and beyond. We have a room, we're by a beach, or we're in this city.
And I'll give you another example, like trying to cater to different groups of interests, like something that you actually said already now with your example. But if I just look at myself, right, I'm totally into mountain biking. So what am I doing? Like, I'm not scrolling around on the internet basically to look up some sort of websites and see if I can find a hotel where I'm, you know, where I'm having the opportunity to securely store my bike, where I get a nice breakfast on, I don't know, with some fitness or, you know, well-being stuff on top. It's also the channels where I would say, okay, I'm rather taking a magazine into my hand, right? And get informed about some tech stuff around mountain biking. And then secondly, on the next page, I might see an advert of an hotel, you know, somewhere in Italy, which is well known for, you know, providing the best facilities for mountain bikers and has a lot of support there, basically. That can also help.
And I think that's a really good point, because I think we often look at it, you know, back to our conversation around distribution. You know, the cost of distribution goes way beyond, you know, when you're looking at the bigs like the Expedia and Booking.com, it's more than just the commission. There are so many other costs that are built into it, promotional costs, cancellation costs, that actually when you accumulate that price, it's quite huge. And I mean, we spoke about the whole distribution piece before, so I don't want to go over that. But being able to take a slightly longer term view possibly, but looking at different distribution channels, whether it be in press, but even if it's finding out, you know, where are mountain biking websites where we could have, you know, even if it's, you know, thinking about our Google ads, hotel ads, and where they can be positioned, thinking about maybe there are distribution channels that are catering to, may not be niche enough around mountain biking, but it could be made broadly around cycling, or I think you mentioned till, you know, could be spas, could be weddings, could be golfing. Golf. You know, just thinking, again, we're back to this USP, just thinking about how can I be more selective? And those channels, the cost of acquisition on those channels could be far more cost effective and the profitability. Now, this is where you've got to tie in your revenue management strategy, and this is where revenue and marketing are working so much more closer, and if they're not, they should be. But having those conversations, having those thought processes, and then going out to evaluate it,
yeah.
That's, you know, it isn't, I mean, the thing we're trying to get across in this, I guess, this isn't rocket science. There shouldn't be anything that we really say here that someone goes, wow, I'd never thought about that. Yeah. That would be nice, maybe. Keep them holding on a bit longer. But I think more of it is about saying, look, if you've got caught up with the OTAs, if you've caught up just thinking about Google, there is more than just Expedia, Booking.com and Google. You've just got to be maybe a little bit, give it a little bit more thought and think a little bit more creatively about it.
I think that's the most important point here is get a little bit more creative and think mm-hmm. a bit outside the box, as you just said. Maybe it's much more cost effective to have Google Ads on some specialty websites. Maybe overall they have less traffic than Google, so mm-hmm. it costs you less, but mm-hmm. people have a higher probability to at least be interested in your product.
Yeah, at least click and come through. Or even if they don't click at that point, back to what you said, Vite, about the, you know, it's put that idea in their head. Yeah. So they may not be ready yet, but they may go and look at the, they may, you know, not click on the ad, but go and look at the website a little later on. They may then look at, you know, they may then bookmark it or make a note of it. But you've kind of, it's planting that seed, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think again, you know, coming back to your point about thinking about the demographics and your element that you mentioned there about from a mountain biking or from a fitness point of view and thinking about how they can offer something differently. We've just put out the podcast that we did with Star and Oki. And in there, they've given examples where a hotel... they actually, one of the things that they offer to their guests is I think it's their concierge is training for a marathon. Uh-huh. And so they go out running each morning. So they offer an opportunity for a guest to run along with them.
Yeah.
You know, so again, just tying in with something where you don't know whether that's personal. But now if you had a situation where someone's coming to you and there's mountain bikers and they may be sort of casual, and they may want to go out on a group ride or maybe a guided ride or something, things like that, that you can leverage that or even use it as an upsell. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't been here before, you can explore on your own, but here's an upsell, you know, but we kind of digress a little bit, but drawing down into what makes you unique and how you can get that message out to your, you know, your guest persona is absolutely key.
Well summarized.
And I think a final point just before we move on to, okay, if we're building this attraction, what needs to happen when they arrive? But I think, you know, we spend a lot of time looking at the costs of our different channels, as well as direct booking being an often discussed topic. How many times do we hear people say, make sure you understand the costs of your distribution channel? And again, I think a lot of people, when they're looking at OTAs, just think about commission cost. And, you know, it's much broader than that. And so again, applying the same approach to your direct strategies and those different costs of channel, it's imperative to understand not just the return on investment, but help you to understand the actual difference in cost to make you decide where should I be spending more of my money and maybe more of my thinking time. Am I better off taking a bit more time to think a bit more creative and really targeting in on our USP and our guest persona and driving through channels? Because although there is a cost associated with putting that content together, if we're getting a higher conversion at a lower cost for acquiring that person, it may be in the complete picture that is a much better utilization of time than just banging it out on the OTAs.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. But overall, you need to then see the The one thing with the OTAs is that once a month you get your commission statement, and there at the final line you see the overall amount, and that can be quite costly. And here, as you already said it, I think, is the costs that go into your direct booking strategy are very diverse, because you have costs for your website, you have costs for your marketing in terms of ads, maybe retargeting and so forth. Maybe you have such a conversion tool on your website that displays that you have the correct price or the best price available, or even you upsell some free offerings to guests who book direct.
Yep.
And all these costs also need to be summarized and put down on the final line to check if it's more costly than what you would owe in terms of OTA commission.
Yep.
Or if you're better off pursuing that way.
And time.
We
don't account for the time that we have to invest in doing it. And
exactly.
I think that circles us right back to the point you made at the beginning, Vite, where people say, well, it's often discussed, but actually... Yeah. I think is our question. Is it worth it? You know, when you roll in the numbers and the effort, it might be fun. It might be quite neat. But once you start, you've got to keep doing it. It's not a treadmill you can then step off. It doesn't, you know, it's not like when you go to the gym and you're a bit tired and you just put your feet to the side of the treadmill and it just keeps running along. The moment you step off of this, it slows down. You have to keep doing it. Whereas the OTA, it just keeps running along.
It just keeps running along because it's proven to be a, let's say, a proven concept at the end of the day, right? Yeah. And I think just as a last sentence to this, if you feel that obviously the effort and the investment that you would have to do is probably just overdoing it, and secondly, you don't have the resources basically to work on a proper direct booking strategy together with your employees basically, who are also playing a part in that whole picture, then I think it's probably about time to reconsider where you should basically put all your efforts on, right?
Yeah.
Not to say that, you know, you should then keep away from driving direct bookings or trying to drive them, but, you know, either you do it good and well, or you just lose out.
And again, I think, and you said a final point, and I'm gonna make it not the final point. So I apologize. I think also we sometimes look at this as a binary choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, am I gonna put all my time? Oh, okay, I do this, it's gonna take too much effort, I'll put all my time into OTAs. Or yeah, I'm gonna put all my investment into direct. It doesn't have to be. You know, if you've got you may have just one element that is unique about your property. Well, how about just spending the time and effort on trying to drive at the lowest cost and the highest conversion rates a direct booking strategy around that one USP? Because that might be more manageable, less time consuming, more cost effective, and then also give you a chance, because often we're a bit nervous about doing these things. You know, I know when we first got together to do a podcast first off, you know, it was kind of, we were much more nervous because it's a new experience, and we learn as we go along. So again, by maybe taking a slightly narrower perspective with a direct booking and trying it out and learn and make mistakes and do your different A/B testing to see what works and what doesn't, get the proof of concept with that, then you can start to reflect and say, okay, now I could build on another USP. But you've got to know what your USPs and your feeder markets and how they book with you. Otherwise, everything is just guesswork anyhow.
Yeah, don't overdo it at the same time, because at the end of the day, you want to be capable of monitoring your success. As you said, click-through rates and conversion. And if you do five different things at the same time, you might end up not really knowing what was successful and what was not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, good point. So I think then really that finishes kind of what we were looking at as part one, which is, as I say, no revelations, probably no mind-blowing new ideas in there. So sorry for anyone that's been listening for the last half an hour and was expecting some.
Hey, still, we like to talk to you.
Yeah, but we like to talk to each other. But no, hopefully, just some refreshers and just some points in there to say, hey, don't forget about these things. Maybe just go back to basics a bit and take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
So that's great. That's a really good point. So thanks for the input on part one. Thanks a lot, guys. Always a pleasure to have these conversations with you.
Likewise.
Always get some nice insights and back to basic practicalities, which at the end of the day, they're pretty simple to fix and don't cost a lot of money to do. So really, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.